You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And indeed, the uninterrupting, always respectful and appreciative of my co-host, Ed Stetzer. So it's good to be with you, Daniel M.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, how about we get straight into the question today? It's a 101 type of question, but we haven't really been able to address church planting from a 101 level in quite a while. So let's listen in.
When it comes to church planting, what is the recommended course of action when it comes to opening a church?
All right.
So let me count though. I've written two books, three eBooks on the subject. Did my PhD on it. We've done more research on it than I think anyone living. And we got to answer it in a 12-minute podcast.
Yes, exactly. Everything you need to know about church planting in 12 minutes.
Yeah. Well, so, first I would say read some of those resources, not just the one you and I wrote, but read some of those resources. Take training. Your denomination probably has boot camp or basic training. There's online resources, hundreds of different things. But anyway, okay. So I've got 1,000 ideas on how to communicate this, but why don't you jump in and you guide us a little bit?
Yeah, so we've recently addressed a lot about whether or not you're called to plant and the assessment process. So, and those were in the last 10 episodes or so. So I would encourage you, Eric, to go back and listen to those first. Obviously, take a look at our essential church planting course on newchurches.com as well, because that was designed especially for this. But in terms of, let's say you've discerned a call to plant, you've discerned, okay, yes, I am called, I have been assessed, I want to move forward, I want to learn more, I'm going to read, I'm going to take courses, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do it, and I'm ready to start this, gathering my launch team. Really, that's actually where I would say, okay, after you've discerned all that, start gathering your launch team, start casting vision, start seeing if whether or not the vision that God has placed on your heart translates well to other people, those elevator speeches, even if you're talking to your spouse or children or neighbors or friends, start talking about that 30 second to 1 minute. Hey, I feel God's calling me to plant a church. And they're like, oh, what's planting a church? And what is that? And wrestle through some of those aspects before you start actively recruiting for your launch team.
And yeah, so after you create launch team, you want to start asking questions about where you're going to go, what you're going to do. So hopefully by now you have some sort of sense of where's God calling you to plant, but you begin to do some cultivation of that area. I would go door to door. I mean, in some cases I knock on doors, hey, my name's Ed Stetzer. We're going to start a new church in the area. Here's some information about it. Just wanted to share it with you. If you had some sort of way to communicate to a broad number of people, maybe send out a mailer to them and say, hey, fill out this card or visit this website and register whatever it may be and for your interest. And so start to find some people, particularly focusing on people who are unchurched, who are not engaged in a church right now. There might even be some Christians who are unchurched, and you can connect with them as well. After you do that, you begin to sort of gather them together. So, might be small group Bible studies, maybe one, then two, then three. And so by now you got three Bible studies, and you've got the list of people you've been connecting with, you're sharing the gospel with, making evangelistic, intentional engagements with, and more. And then we'll turn it back over to Daniel. What from there, Daniel? I'm thinking some preview services, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, even if we were just to pause for a moment on, what you just shared right now about starting multiple small groups.
In the 12 minutes we have, let's pause for a moment to describe the totality of church planting.
Yeah, so even in the multiple small groups that you had mentioned, Ed, we would recommend that you would actually be a part of all three, because you're installing vision, you're developing leaders, and instead of continuing to lead all three, it would be you would start leading three and then quickly raise up leaders to begin leading those so that you can start others, right?
Yeah, I think that's good and a good reminder. Worth taking the little bit of the diversion. So from there, you start maybe some preview services once a month, gather everybody together. Do that for 2 to 3 months, and then what we typically call you launch, you go public, whatever you would call it, and that's when you sort of gather people together. But actually, the church is actually at that point not planted. It's just a larger gathering rather than the smaller gathering. But once you get that larger gathering, you start meeting regularly. You typically have about half the people you had at your first service. Try to get to by the time you swing around to your first anniversary, try to have the number of people you had at your first service. It's always a good goal to go for, particularly if you had a large bump. But then you got to do things like ecclesiology. You got to think about how the church is going to be structured. You know, you're going to have deacons, you're going to have elders, you're going to have administrative team, a vestry. What are you going to, a session, depends on your denomination. And then you structure that usually about a year later, kind of bring together the people to covenant with one another and become an actual freestanding, autonomous, depending on your denomination, church.
Mm-hmm. So, Ed, you've been involved in church planting for 30 plus years.
Yeah.
Right? And as you've thought through and been a part of multiple times planting churches, both, you know, long time ago, right? And recently as well, in the last 5 to 10 years, what would you say has changed when it comes to launching a church?
You know, well, I mean, so the journey started that one you call long time ago in the inner city of Buffalo. And
once upon a time,
1988, I started my first church, and just literally, well, I just said knock on door to meet people. Back then I knocked on door a little more much, you know, I would kind of go door to door, sharing the gospel. Today I would more intentionally try to meet them and come back and share the gospel. But also too, you got to remember, people respond differently when you're in the inner city among the urban poor. So it's a lot of depends on where you are too. But then we planted that church, kind of slowly kind of grew over time. But the second church, we decided we really needed some new approaches. So we did a large launch. We had 234 at the first service, which was, in my denomination, the largest launch north of the Mason-Dixon line at that point. Mm. But now it takes a lot more. I mean, that was in Erie, Pennsylvania, by the way. But if I was planning a church in Erie, Pennsylvania today, I wouldn't expect it to be normal to have a large launch with over 200 people. It's just harder now. And so I think it's harder. It takes longer. I guess I can give other examples as well. How would you say it's different?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I don't have as much experience as you, Ed, and I haven't been thinking about church planting for the last 30 years. But when you think about even some of the trends that have emerged in the last few years, I guess the biggest question that I have about that is, you have some of these larger churches, these, in a sense, international churches. Even if you were to take Hillsong, for example, in the way that Hillsong is trying to plant rapidly in a lot of international cities. So in New York and in Toronto, in Ottawa, in multiple cities, just, you know, in LA, and in a sense they're launching, they're planting, they have live preaching happening, and, you know, obviously it's Hillsong, so they have a lot of resources behind them. But I guess the question that I have is, you know, back, you know, if you think 15, 20, 30 years ago, you didn't have these mega, mega churches, these international churches, international ministry churches, planting churches all over. So if they're planting in a global city, and then you have another guy saying, hey, I want to plant in LA, or I want to plant in New York as well, and it's right next to Hillsong, I mean, what would you advise them? Because I think in some sense, it's intimidating. Right? It's like, they have all this money, they launched with 1,000 people. All the Christians are probably going there. So what am I going to do?
Well, great. Let all the Christians go there and find some non-Christians.
Yeah.
But I would say the thing would be careful about, mm-hmm, is I don't think that's that big of a trend.
Okay.
We can name the churches doing this, right? Hillsong is an obvious example. But you get beyond like four or five, you know, a Life Church comes and whatever. So I would say that you do what you can do for the glory of God to reach people, and you'll be able to evangelize people that will never go to a church where someone sees someone sitting on a screen, or never go to a church that says, you know, they might, you know, they're just not that kind of people. So go find them, and I think ultimately you'll get a different kind of church plant, which is good. and encouraging for sure.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you. Even when I look at the people who are at our church, I mean, yesterday we had 11 baptisms at our church at the time of our recording. Multiple teenagers, actually this one teenager who had a part in bringing most of the other teenagers that got baptized and you know, ministering in that way. We had a child as well, you know, profess their faith. Last week, our student pastor preached and a person came to know the Lord and got baptized yesterday. And we had a 70-year-old lady who got baptized as well as an ex-convict. So you think about the life transformation that's happening at our church at every local church level. And even when you begin communicating with them, they're like, oh, a lot of them, they're like, hey, I actually want to be a part of a smaller church.
Yeah.
Right. I don't necessarily, and there's a ton of mega churches in Nashville. I'm not part of a mega church here, but it's just, I think you bring up a really good point that, especially when you're planting and you're looking and you're doing quote unquote research and seeing who else is around there, it's easy to get intimidated. But if God is calling you to plant, you have to trust that, hey, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. And instead of trying to attract all of the Christians to come, hey, what does it look like to find Christians who are passionate about the Great Commission, have the same vision that you have, and then together go and knock on doors, together go and lead small groups, together go and launch a church to reach the people that God is calling you to, not the people that God is calling Hillsong or another church to reach.
Yeah, and I think there, like I said, there's plenty of lost people to go around. And so I think if we can focus there, you raise up disciple, I think that's going to make plenty of difference, and there are plenty of people to reach.
Fantastic. Well, today's episode is brought to you in part by Noah's Event Venue, which is the perfect venue for all of life's events. If you're getting ready to plant a church, much like today's question, or perhaps
want to take groups of animals in the event there's a large flood of water coming in.
Yeah, no. Or even think if you're thinking about starting a new location for your multi-site church, we want to encourage you to check out Noah's Event Venue. The cool thing about renting with them versus anywhere else is, number one, they're cheaper. Number two, they do the setup for you. Number three, there's catering prep area in the kitchen for fellowship times. And number four, you can also rent them midweek as well on Sunday.
And number five, they're literally named after a biblical character. So there you go.
Makes it even better, even better. So go to noaseventvenue.com/church. Once again, that's noaseventvenue.com/church. Any last words, Ed, as we think about a recommended course of action to planting a church today in 2018?
Well, I would hope that if this gentleman is going to plant a church, that he would not base the process and the plan on the short amount of advice, the 12 minutes of helpful information we just gave. But again, there are books, there are courses, there are resources. You and I have written a book together, and there are 10 others, right? You and I have done a course together, and there are 10 others. And so we just want you to do something. Connect with your denomination, connect with your network, get some training for sure.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you guys next week.